You're listening to The Forgotten Word. Hello, I'm Bob Wise of Forgotten Word Ministries. I'm pleased you could join us today while we learn more about the state of our churches and the apathy towards the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today I want to talk a little bit about John 13:34, where it says in the King James Bible, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, so that also you love one another." Now, what exactly are we talking about here? Well, it's a new commandment. Remember, we had the Ten Commandments and a lot of things in the Old Testament, and the Lord, you know, said he came to fulfill the law, which that's what those were. But he also had many things to say in the New Testament, one of them of which is John 13:34, where he says, "A new commandment I give you." But what he's saying here is just like parents when they, you know, are going to be leaving their children, you know, they're dying, they know they are. And sometimes they even, you know, do this a lot more when the children are moving out of the house and going out on their own, growing up to have families of their own and those things. But sometimes, you know, their dying instructions to them, you know, are something they want their children to take to heart, to understand, to believe, and to do. Excuse me. So Christ, taking his leave, you know, of his disciples at that point, gives them his instructions, which were that they love one another, and, you know, as, you know, brethren in the same family, you know, children of the same father, and, you know, as fellow disciples, you know, one with each other by keeping and agreeing together, you know, praying one for another, bearing each other's, you know, burdens, forbearing and forgiving one another, you know, admonishing each other and building up one another in faith and holiness. And this he calls, you know, a new commandment. That is a very excellent one, as a new name and a new song denote excellent ones. Or it is so called because it is set forth by Christ himself in a new edition of it, and newly and more clearly explained than before it was ever was, and being enforced with a new argument and pattern never before used by anyone. It said, you know, he said to them, "As I have loved you," and to be observed in a new manner, not in the oldness of the letter, but in the newness of the Spirit. Besides this commandment, as to the matter of it, actually, it's the same with that as, you know, of Moses back in Leviticus 19:18. Yet it takes in more and new objects sets by neighbor. Therefore, you know, there seems to be meant the children of their people, the Jews. And so they understood it only of their countrymen, you know, and, you know, whereas this reaches to any other person, though, actually, because it says so in Romans 13:8. And as a measure, as well as the motive is new, it is not now as thyself, but as I have loved you. The Jew has no reason at that point to object, you know, like he does, to its being called a new commandment. And its being new, you know, carries in it a reason or an argument. Why should it be observed, as, you know, does also the following clause here, is that, "As I have loved you, that ye also love one another," than which nothing can or should, you know, more strongly engage to it, as, you know, as Christ loved his people freely, not, you know, withstanding all, you know, the unworthiness and the ungratefulness they showed and exhibited and did, but so should they love one another. Though, you know, there may be many things, you know, in some of those people observable which, you know, are disagreeable. But as Christ loves all his children without any distinction, so should they and we love one another, whether poor or rich, you know, weaker, I should say, or stronger, lesser or greater believers. Some people are new believers and they struggle. We all struggle, but new believers really, they're just learning what Jesus and his gospel is all about. You know, and as Christ loves them, not in word only, but in deed and in truth. So the disciples, they and we, should love one another with a pure heart fervently, and by love serve one another. Now, we tend to have, I guess I'm going to say, we tend to have an attitude towards people that, well, if they're not a believer, you know, I don't love what they're doing, and I won't show any love to them. If someone's preaching the a word that is not biblical, we tend to go against that person pretty strongly. Some of us do. I'm as guilty as anyone on that. Sometimes more so, I believe. But I do love them, and I guess what we fail in when we do these things, when we discern that a preacher's preaching something that's not of the gospel, if he's leading people astray, or you got these people, the preachers out there that are, you know, fleecing the flock, you know, that are living for themselves, becoming multimillionaires, you know, at the behest of all the people in the congregations, that the majority of them, not all of them, but the majority of the people that support these preachers are poor people, barely making it paycheck to paycheck. But they hear a gospel preach that tells them that, you know, if they give their $100, be faithful, be patient, you know, God will return that $100 tenfold. They'll get $1,000 out of it. And so they patiently wait, and they patiently wait, and a lot of times it doesn't happen. But yet they're preached to so vehemently that they believe that if they just wait and believe hard enough, it'll come to fruition. Well, you know, we don't agree with that. A lot of us don't agree with that. It's horrible. It's horrible to take advantage of people and do the things that some of these people do. But if we're going to criticize that person for the way they are doing, we also need to let them know at the same time that we truly love them and we want to help them and we really care about their soul. We may hate with just a true godly passion the things that they're doing to others, but we've got to love them, and that's what Jesus is saying here. Love one another. Yes, some of these people are wrong, but we still got to love them. We got to try our best. I don't think there's anything wrong. I mean, anything wrong with explaining to people, to talking to some one of these preachers or believers about how we disagree with what they're doing and what they're believing, as long as we also let them know that we love them dearly and that we will serve them as best we can under the guidelines and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, because that's where the truth is. And the truth, as we all know, will make you free. So we can disagree with them. We can mark them, call them out like a lot of us do. But we can't just say, so-and-so preaches this and he's going to hell, and drop it at that. And we all do that. A lot of us do that. And really, that's just wrong. We have to mark them. So what we have to do, pardon me for the interruption there, we really, I don't think it, like I said, I don't think it hurts to mark them. I don't think it hurts to call them out, to give forth every effort that we can to contact people who are wrong, in a biblical sense, to discuss with them if we can, pray for them immensely. And don't forget that at one time, you may have believed just like they do. Maybe not in the same way, I guess, but in a lot of ways, you were an unbeliever. So in a lot of ways, you were like them, lost, confused, misled a lot of times. A lot of congregational people are simply misled by what their learning from those teaching them. So, you know, Christ made it very clear that as I have loved you. Well, if we think about that, I can't find anywhere in the Bible where it said that Christ didn't love his disciples. And he did for them. He provided for them, and he taught them. The most wonderful thing he did for them was to share his gospel with them so that they would be able to understand and believe on him, and they also could one day reign with Christ in glory. That's what he taught them. That's the greatest gift of all. You know, he gave his life on the cross for us, but if he'd have gave his life for us with no teachings coming, you know, leading up to that sacrifice, he would have died and rose from the grave. We'd all be wondering what it was all about. So his teachings were paramount in the life of those disciples, and then also to those that Christ taught to and those that the disciples taught to. So my admonition to everyone, including myself today, is very simple. That we take the time to understand that Christ loved us. He loved us immensely. And as he said in John 13:34 again, I command you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. In simple terms, it says, I got a new commandment for you. I want you to love one another, just like I have loved you, so that you can also love one another. Use me, Christ is saying, use me as your example. Model yourselves after me. Model yourselves after me. That's what he's saying. So when we make a choice to try to help someone or to point out to someone about someone else, you know, in their teachings that are wrong or in their beliefs that are wrong, we have to remember something. What is our model that we need to portray to them? Is it us bickering and telling them, well, I believe what you want, you're going to hell. If you're not going to believe me, the heck with you, you're going to hell. Nothing I can do for you. You know, sometimes, like Christ said, you know, you do all you can do, and you have to dust your feet off from them, go on your way, continue to spread the gospel. But at the same time, now listen, don't forget something. Just because you tried for however long it was, whether you considered a week, a month, a year, 6 years, 10 years, and that person still never came aboard into the flock with Christ, doesn't mean you're supposed to forget about them. You still continue to pray for them. You never know, folks. Listen to me. You never know. You got to continue to pray for them and love them, even though you're brokenhearted and sad that they're lost and that you don't agree with them at all, and that they may be teaching other people to believe in the wrong gospel and a false Jesus. We still have to love that person and pray for them, because this may happen. One day down the road, you may just run into that person again, and everything can be totally different. You've been praying for that person. You still love them. When you run into them that next time, you tell them, oh my, how you doing? I haven't seen you in, what, 10 years, 12 years, whatever it is. 2 years, just doesn't matter. How is everything? What's going on? Did you ever give any thought to the things I told you way back, blah, blah, blah? You may be shocked to find out if they're still alive. As they got older, they got to searching and start to thinking. And you know, a little bit of wisdom started getting into their brain, and they realized there's something got to be new out there that's different than what I'm thinking about. It's just, you just never know what opportunity is going to come where you can witness to that person again and experience the success through the Holy Spirit that you was looking for the first time you met. So I want you to love one another just as Christ loves us. He loves us unconditionally. I'm sure he gets brokenhearted. He disagrees with some of the things we're doing. He knows that, you know, some of us are weaker and stronger than others. He knows some of us are poor and some of us are rich. He knows, you know, some of us are new followers of him. Some have been following him for a long time and drawn really close to him. And he knows these things. But he loves each one of us, not just in his word, but in his deed and in truth. So I want you to go forth from listening to this little thing today, and I want you to love one another with a pure heart. And the key word here is love one another with a pure heart fervently. And by your love, serve one another fervently. Love that other person. Whether you disagree with them or not, you still have to love them. I see people all the time, and I mean all the time, on Facebook and on the internet and in churches and just talking to people. I hate so-and-so. I hate that. He's a devil. Yeah. You know, I understand all of that. I really do. I've, you know, been working with discernment ministry for, gosh, 18 years or so now already. And I understand exactly where they're coming from. There was a time I used to say, I hate that person. They're not preaching the Bible. They're not even, in my estimation, trying to preach the Bible. All they're doing is getting up there in front of all these people, telling them things they want to hear so that they'll give more money and this person, this preacher, can become rich. I see it all the time. And I used to say I hated them. Well, I've learned over the years with the help and guidance of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, that I don't hate them after all. I just don't hate them after all. I don't like what they're doing. I do not in any way, shape, or form agree with what they're doing. I abhor what they're doing. I love them. I pray for them. And I tell other people, listen, so-and-so, they're not preaching the word. They're not following the commands of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord. They're not following the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're preaching another gospel. They're preaching to believe in another Jesus who will give them millions of dollars just because he wants them to be rich. I hate that. I hate that with a passion, but I've learned to hate what they're doing, to hate their fruit, not them personally. I've learned that I've got to love them no matter what, and I've got to pray for them. But it doesn't stop me, or it shouldn't stop you, from pointing that person out to other people so that they will not be misled. You don't want to say or believe that you just got to love them and pray for them and not worry about it no more, and then run into somebody who says, oh boy, do I ever love so-and-so. Man, I watch him every Sunday or every day on TV or every week on TV and listen to him on the radio every day. I love that guy or that woman so much that they're just so great. You know, they're just great. And what are you going to do? Just say, oh, that's nice, and walk away. Let them be led down, you know, that a trail, a path that you know is wrong. Well, you can't do that. You can't just walk away and leave it. So you have to tell these people, you have to share with them, look, let me, can I tell you something about the way I feel about that? And, you know, if they agree to let you talk a little bit, discuss it with them, tell them, you know, I love so-and-so immensely. Christ commanded that I love that person. And I've learned to love that person. And I've learned that I also have to pray for that person. And that I have to do everything I can to try to get that person to understand that the things they're preaching, I believe, do not agree and adhere to what the Bible preaches. And let me explain to you a little bit about what that is. You don't just want to accuse that preacher and then expect that person to understand what you're talking about. You be prepared. If you're not prepared, you tell them, look, you know, I'd really like to talk to you sometime about this, but I really need to study up on something first. But can I get back to you because there's something on my mind that I really want to talk to you about so-and-so. And, you know, I love them to death, but there's something I want to talk about. But I got some things I need to check on first. And then at another point in time, get a hold of that person and tell them, this is why I believe they're doing wrong. This is what I believe they're preaching wrong. Here is what the Bible says. Here is what they're saying. And be able to point it out with scripture verses to match what you're saying, so these people don't think this is just coming from you. Let them know that this is coming from God's word. And by doing it with love and showing them that how much you love that person that they're so enamored with, you can let them see that yes, you do love that person, but there's something you don't agree with, so let's talk about it. And if it's approached in that manner, then you're going to find out that that person's 90% of the time anyway is going to be willing to at least talk about it. They may walk away disagreeing with you, but you've been able to plant a seed. And in this case, I'm telling you, plant a seed means you've planted the word of God. You haven't planted money seeds. You planted a seed from the word of God into their mind and their hearts that may take root. And you may just be the tool, the avenue that the Holy Spirit uses to get that person on the right track. So don't turn your face from what's going on in the world around you. But when you see things that are wrong, remember exactly what Jesus said in John 13:34. I give you a new commandment that you love one another. That means love each other as believers. Love those who don't believe. Don't get caught up in their unbelief. Love them. Pray for them. Cherish the idea in your mind that maybe, just maybe, there's something you can help them with to get them to see the truth. The truth being the Word of God. So go about your lives today, folks. Pray that the Holy Spirit would show you how to have love one for another with a pure heart and a fervent pure heart and a fervent love, that when somebody disagrees with you, they'll go, gee whiz, man, you know, they may say to you, this is the first time I've ever had a conversation with somebody who didn't like my preacher or this so-and-so preacher that's ever had the decency to talk to me like a human being without trashing him so bad that I couldn't believe stand to talk to you. You'd be amazed. It doesn't mean you believe any less than you did when you started. You still hate the sin. You hate the fruits of their work. But you love that person, and you let this person know you love them. And you're going to see a big difference. Again, look up John 13:34. Study it, understand it, believe it, and most of all, practice it. I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us today. If you get a chance, please drop by www.forgottenword.org. We'd be happy to help you in any way we can with any questions you might have. We'll do our very best to answer any questions. You can email us at pastorwise@adams.net. That's pastorwise@adams.net. We're pleased to have you today. I hope you'll join us again next time. Until then, God bless you, and stay true to the Word and true to the Bible. God bless you all.